Turn over to Genesis chapter 2, and we're going to cover Genesis to Revelation here this morning. And we hope we have enough time. Praise the Lord. Let's pray. We better, huh? Father, in the name of Jesus, as we get into the Word here this morning, I pray that Your Word, Your people will connect with Your Word. Father, I like what You say about connecting to the Word so that it can germinate out of our hearts, produce the fruit that is necessary off the branch that we are. And so, Father, today, Father, the things I share, may it be a blessing to Your people. And, Father, with that concern and care for our moms today and our the fathers, Father, we're just going to believe that they're going to be blessed by the Word today in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. Well, because it's Mother's Day, I usually don't talk about mothers. I usually just go on in and continue on in preaching what I've been covering. We've been covering the love of God. And, of course, we're getting some good positive feedback. A lot of you are really enjoying it. And some of you have said that you'd never heard of it or seen it from that aspect, but how many of you know that God's thoughts are not our thoughts and God's ways are not our ways? Amen. They're always different. And so whenever you get to messing with God, you're messing with a whole different way of thinking than the way we think. Amen. So this morning, I want to look at the first family. And I do realize that because you're a wife, not necessarily a mother yet, you're planning on being one. I was sure thankful that Lindsay said she's planning in the future to have children. I was hoping she wasn't going to break the news to us right away. That, But the first family, God wanted a family. How many of you know that? God wants family. And so in Genesis chapter 1, let's take a look at something in chapter 2, and let's go to verse 18. Chapter 2 and 18, then we're going to go over to Ephesians. It says, "And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him. So out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the air and brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. And whatever Adam called each living creature, that was its name. And so Adam gave names to all cattle, to the birds of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helper comparable to him. And so the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh in its place. And then the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, he made into a woman, and he brought her to the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Now, therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed." Now, let's stop there, and let's take a look at what we had just read. Notice that God said it is not good that man should be alone. So if you will, turn over to Ephesians chapter 5. We'll go there. He said it is not good that man should be alone. And so what he did is, in his specific duties under God, Adam's first job, first assignment, was to name creation. And in the process of that, it finally dawned on me why God had him do that. God wanted him to build a desire in his own heart to have the same thing that the animal kingdom had. And that was, in the animals, there was male and female, but there was not a female for Adam. And so God knew that, and Adam began to probably in his heart wonder, where is a mate comparable to me? Now, what people don't understand is the spirit is not mentioned there, but just the physical plane. Family in the earth is physical. Now, family in the heavenly is spiritual. But family in the earth is physical. And that's where covenant relationship with male and female come together, and they develop what we call a covenant relationship through vows, vowing to each other. And as a result of that, God had in store or in mind for a man and woman to be blessed while they were here. Now, the wife does not come to love and honor and respect her husband. She does not worship him if he is not to become her God. Are you following me? A woman has to come to love and honor and respect her husband, but she is not to make him her God. And see, we must be careful to make that clarity that God has to keep his position with male and female, because that is a spiritual side of the eternal side of mankind. But a wife does come, I said does not, but actually does come to love and honor and respect her husband, but she is not to put her husband in the place of the Lord. And I've seen that happen over the years as pastoring. I've literally seen husband and wife trade God for the position that they fell into in earth. And it's sad. But really, when you think of marriage and you think of even Paul's understanding of a man and woman in relationship, it's very interesting. In 1 Corinthians chapter 7, the first thing Paul establishes in marital relationship is that the first position God has to take is reconciliation, to reconcile both parties that are in the Lord. But Paul gave his discernment and found out later towards the end of the chapter that he did have the mind of the Lord. Where Paul was coming from, the best place to be, whether you've been married, divorced, or even planning on remarrying, or you've been a virgin and never been married, the best place to understand this is that Jesus Christ has to hold the preeminence in your life even before you think about remarrying again. How many understand what I'm talking about? If you don't understand this, how important it is for both parties to be very spiritual about their marital relationship, that is the first line of defense for when a marriage starts to go bad. Is what is your spiritual position like? Because when a marriage starts to begin to go bad, that is the first sign that there is a spiritual problem. Never a physical problem, it's a spiritual problem. I know that being a pastor because I've seen it over the years. Sue and I, when we first started the church, I'm just going to be a little open and candid here. Sue and I had a lot of difficulty walking with each other in a newfound setting of pastoring a church. It was very conflicting. And I can honestly say the only way that we came out of the whole situation is the Lord Jesus Christ began to work in our heart in such a way that we could go the distance with the Lord in pastoring this church, and me staying committed my heart towards my wonderful wife, who I love very much. I love her more and more. And more than I love her, it's because, thank God, I can give up more of myself. You know, and that's an honorable thing. That's a wonderful thing. I love you so much, honey. Can't put it into words. And I can honestly say, some women are easy to look at, but I'm going to tell you something. What you see and what you have in your heart are two different things. And I'm going to tell you, I have always envisioned the love that I have for my wife. I have always disagreed with her in many areas, but I come to find out she was right. And I don't mean that just being funny, but there's something in my wife, Sue, that has the ability to know from a spiritual plane that I highly honor and respect. She actually graduated from Rhema with a better grade than me. She let me know about it. Oh, what's your grade? Here's mine. But you know, when you grow up, you know, in the Lord, and He starts really developing your heart, you find that there's less of a care that you put on yourself and more of a care you put on your mate. And I'll tell you, women are to be loved and honored and cherished, especially moms. And wives too. I better put the wives in, because we have a lot of single parents now. But anyway, I want to talk a little bit about Ephesians chapter 5 and what's being said there. Usually at verse 22, wives submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. Usually in marital conflict, the men come up with this verse. That's the first verse they go to. That's right. But you know what? The book of Ephesians is a very interesting book. It's a progressive book. It's progressive. And so when you read it and it starts out in chapter 1, there's a purpose of what's being said there. But as you progress through the book, every scripture enhances where it's going. And so when you get to chapter 5, really it's very interesting that he covered some important areas before he got to the actual wives and husbands. And one of the things he said very clearly is, therefore, be followers of God as dear children and walk in love as Christ also had loved us and has given himself for us, an offering and sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. And so that's one of the statements. Another one is, you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. Actually, the word for spirit here is the wrong word. In the Greek, it says, for the fruit of the light. You see, the reason in the Greek it put the word light there, when you have light, you're more prone not to stumble than you would in darkness. How many follow what I'm saying? So darkness keeps you in a position of being able to stumble over each other or fall over each other. But if you're children of the light and not of darkness, you're more apt not to stumble over each other. How many are following what I'm saying? And he goes on to say, proving what is acceptable to the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. Expose would be a better word for reprove them. And then it goes on to say in verse 14 of 5, therefore he says, awake you who sleep and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give you light. See that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. This is a very important statement because he's going right down to verse 22 where we're going to be going. But notice what he says. He says, awake you who sleep. When marriages start to really go bad is where the spiritual commitment begins to wane. Because when you walk in the light as he is in the light, you'll have fellowship with him, and he's able to remove darkness from your path. That's what 1 John is all about. In verse 9 of chapter 1 of 1 John, it says, if you are faithful to the Lord and you confess your sin, he is able to cleanse you from that unrighteousness. And what he is referring to there was not so much just a personal sin, but sin that actually takes place between two brothers or two sisters or a brother and a sister or a husband and wife, whatever it is. And he's saying, if you're willing to open up and remove darkness that is in you, then he says, as a result of that, you'll be able to cement yourself much better together as a husband and wife, really. In a faithful mom. Women who do not have children, one of the things that's very important for you single moms who do not have children, maybe you're a virgin, never known a man, but you're planning on marrying, you're planning on a future relationship. I just want to encourage every one of you young ladies here, very strongly encourage you to do one thing. Always view, in any relationship, always view the spiritual aspect in the other party's life. Because if you don't know how, and you don't understand the importance of spiritual things, in other words, the person you're going to hook up to, they don't have a spiritual connection, so to speak, with God, then what you're doing is you're possibly getting into a relationship that could have very adverse effects in your life that God wants to spare you. Not that God is looking to hook you up with somebody that's honorable. God is not up there with the dating game going, people. That's not the way God does things. But what God likes to do is work in your heart, each of your heart, male, female, works in your heart to qualify in honor as a spiritual being first, so that when you do join yourself to somebody, that marriage is going to really end up blessed because you're viewing everything from a spiritual plane. Are you following what I'm saying? Now, I know that that doesn't happen. A lot of times, we as ministers of the gospel, we have to minister to husband and wives. And the thing that I've noticed over the years of counseling and pastoring with people, the thing that I've always come to the conclusion of is that when a marriage goes bad, it's because their spiritual life is waning. It always comes back to their spiritual position with God. And so that is, from now on, I made a point with my Lord, from now on, in defense of trying to see a marriage restored, the first avenue that I'm going to approach is the avenue of their spiritual walk with God. Because there's no use going and dealing with the issues of the body of flesh with each other when your spirits are not in tune with God. Because it's your spiritual being that is an eternal thing. Many of you follow what I'm saying. And so what God wants to do is get into the spiritual side of you as a male and female so that he can bless the physical side of your relationship. Amen. Because it's not within the physical man to do any honor before God in any form of righteousness. It's incapable of that. That's that new understanding that we've been getting in the last 2 years, is that the body of flesh has the nature of death at work within it. It didn't go away when we got born again, but we got a spiritual identity by circumcision of our inner man from our outer man through the scriptures of God's word. And because of that, now we're in a whole different ball game here. Now I gotta watch keeping over. I just come into a whole new understanding of the Word of God I had never seen before. It just exploded in me. My spirit felt like it just expanded. But I'm going to be sharing that on Wednesday night. It is something I had never seen in the Word of God. And how I picked up on it is this last Friday I had a chance to go up to TBN and minister with Casey Treat and Glenn Johnson, who is another pastor that is a part of RMAI, and Nathaniel Wolf, who's a pastor way up north. And so he asked us to be on the program, and he wanted to interview us on tithes and offerings. And so before the program, I was sitting in there, and Casey and Glenn and I were talking, and so some things had come up in the conversation that sparked something that I'd never seen before in myself that I always questioned. And so I hit John with it this morning when he came in. And I said, John, you know, what does this mean? And John said, well, I don't know. I've read over that and everything. And so I just started praying in the Holy Ghost. And just before I went to my membership class, the Lord just exploded the understanding of what I was asking him that I had picked up when I was up there. But I'm telling you, people, we're in for a glorious walk with the Lord. I mean, you know, God is really opening up channels of understanding that he's never opened up before until it just seems like you get a little glimpse of it and then you get into it a little more and a little more and boom, and things open up. And the beautiful thing about the understanding that we're coming to is that we're getting a clearer understanding of how our relationships with each other is so important. It is so important. I can't over-express that. And you see traits all the time in a marital relationship, and you see them in husbands and wives and how they can destroy each other unless the principles of God's Word gets into the heart and they become enjoined to the kingdom of God. Connect with them. How many of you follow what I'm saying? You got to connect with something before you can germinate life in it. How many of you know that? How many of you know that? You've got to connect with something to germinate life. That is important. If you never connect with the Word of God, you can't germinate life out of your life. You know, you've got to learn how to connect with God. When you connect with God, you'll germinate life. And one thing about connecting with the Word of God, when it comes to male and female, right here, the first things that Paul speaks about Christ in the church, he speaks about it from a family-centered issue. Isn't that interesting? So when you're reading this, he's talking about the relationship with each other is in the soul realm. It is not Adam's spirit that God was calling alone. It was his soul. So God created a woman to establish a soul tie so that Adam and Eve then had one another. How many of you are following what I'm saying? So marriage and relationships, that involves a connecting of our souls together. Male, female, church body and pastor. See, that is what the kingdom of God is all about, is getting our souls to connect with each other. Well, you know something? If we can't connect with each other, then we have a problem connecting with God, because if you connect with God, then you won't have a problem connecting with each other. This is good stuff, whether you like it or not. Yeah, it's funny how when marriages start to go bad, how everybody's looking how to shift in their position over the other one. I've never seen a marriage go bad that's one-sided. It takes two to tango. Somebody said, who are you dancing with? Oh, you're dancing with your mate. No, I'm not. Who am I dancing with, people? Who am I dancing with? I'm dancing with myself. Are you following? Well, when you get married, you should be dancing with your mate. Not yourself. Right? I mean, you guys watch the Dancing with the Stars, don't you? I don't. Some of you women, that's all you talk about. I can't get anything out of it. I mean, but notice what he says. He says, awake you who sleep and arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. Now notice what he says in the next verse. This is an important verse. He says, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. You know what this word circumspectly means? It's referring to that's where we get the word acrobos, which means acrobatics. How many of you ever watched the Olympics and then people do those acrobatics? You know, they run and flip and do and crumple and blah, and you go, wow, how do they do that? You know, some it's almost uncanny. Well, they learn to teach them exact, accurate timing. Did you guys know that? Timing is the utmost. But it has to be accurate. It has to be carefully and diligently time for exact timing. And that's what this word is referring to. See then that you walk circumspectly, accurately, carefully, diligently, but not as fools, but as wise. And the reason he's saying this foundation, he's saying getting down to it, because he's going to make some statements about the wives in the church. And I know that not all wives here are mothers, but literally wives become mothers. Or should be. He goes on to say, wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church. And he is the Savior of the body. He is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Notice it says, in everything. You know, the most difficult things that you find in marriages, and my heart goes out to people that have that problem, is they have a problem connecting with God. They're going to have a problem connecting with each other. Because God's got to get in their heart to do that. I can't stress that enough. But notice this. He is the Savior of the body. Do you know that if the right authority is placed in the home, you've got the husband being the leader of the home. You know what the word husband is? It's an Anglo-Saxon word. It's an old word. But literally the word husband is house bonder. It literally means a man who bonds the house together. He's a house bonder. He makes everything fit and work together. A church is like, should be like a house. You know, you have what you call a particular house that you attend. If people can't connect with the vision of the church or connect to the church, they can't germinate anything in the church. They become self-ambition. And as a result of that, they're on their own. But really, everything is connection. That's our main theme for the year is connection. Isn't that right? Connect. When you connect and germinate together, things will work. If you cannot connect, and you will not germinate, and things won't work together for your God. Now, in a husband and wife relationship, men, you have to connect with your wife biblically. Women, you have to connect with your husband biblically. Another thing that you find today a lot is family units not leading the provision of the home. The first sign of spiritual lack in a family is if the man never provides for the home. The woman has to provide for it to say, that's all right for a season, but eventually you, the husband, you have to be the provider for the home. It's not that the home can have a moment of something happening in life financially where the woman then will go to work to help support the husband, but there should be a total agreement in that. But I think a man should always be the key provider for the family and the home. If he's not the key provider, then there's something wrong with him spiritually. He's self-centered. He's not thinking of the family unit. I grain that in my kids. My son, man. You get around him, I'm proud of him because he's a worker. I mean, and he watches diligently over his business. And when things get to where they're going, sliding down a little bit, you don't want to be around my son when he's hot about something. He doesn't explain too much to you. He just gives you orders, and then he'll drag you there to see that they're fulfilled. Isn't that right, Ted? My son's that way, and I'm proud of him to be that way because he needs to be responsible for what he's being paid to do. Amen? So the first sign that you men need to really get clarified and settled in yourself is you need to be a good provider for your family unit, especially your wife. Women need security. They need the feeling of that security. And my wife, you can ask her, in behind my back, she'll tell you, I've always provided for my family. Have I not, Sue? Sue has never had a care in that area whatsoever. I always believed God for it. And I'm going to tell you something. I did it right. As I provided for my family first, before ministry ever came into me, I did not enter ministry so I could get out of working. Some people do that. They want to enter ministry to get out of working. I love to provide for my family. I love to work. That was, my kids know me. They were raised with me. Tim, you were in my household. You know that I was a provider for my family. I wasn't the most perfect guy on the block, but I was a provider anyway. Thought I better clarify that, right? What'd you say, yeah? But want the bottom core issue, ladies, is that your husband needs to be your provider. Just as Christ has provided for the church, he is also a provider for his wife. Because that, if that's in God, it's going to be in the man. Men can come up with excuses. One guy I nailed to the wall. I said, what is your problem about getting a job? And he bowed his head and looked at me, then looked down and he says, you know what? Pastor, I have a fear going to work. I never heard that before. He actually feared getting out there and meeting people for a job. My heart just melted right away because fear can really kill a person. And I said, well, you know, you've got to deal with that fear. You've got to get over it. And God will provide for you. He got over the fear and God provided. He had to deal with that fear because he'd been out of a working situation for years and he didn't know what it was like and he had that fear in him. I thanked him for that because you can get to the crux of a problem with somebody if you can find out what is at the base of it. Now, ladies, notice this. Therefore, just as The church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husband, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Now notice what he said about the husband. We always hear wives submit, but we never heard husbands love. A woman could come back and say, yeah, but you're supposed to love me as Christ loved the church. You, ladies, write that down. Now notice what he says. He said the love of the husband for the wife as Christ for the church is he gives himself for her that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word. And that word for word there is not logos, it's rhema. You know what, guys? Women don't like you to say you love them. Women like you to prove you love them by being a doer of what you say. Go down to verse 28 here. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it just as the Lord does the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bone. And for this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they too shall become one flesh. So really, when God is at the control of a marital situation, really the husband and wife really come together as one unit, one body, one flesh. And that's very important. We always talk about the affection that women want and deserve. And from this pulpit, I have not emphasized enough about the position of a man. Listen, men love to be loved and affectionately treated as well. Amen, you guys? They do. As you grow in the Lord, one thing that the Lord really begins to move in your heart and press upon you as husband and wife is that when things begin to log themselves up through mistakes in a marital relationship, it happens all the time. One thing that what the carnal mind will do is it will log something and not remove it. It'll log it there. That's just the way you think. That's the way people think. And what God wants to do is prevent that logging up. See? And so in order for that not to happen, I'll give you a little key that helped me with my wife tremendously. Is I got off this bandwagon of looking at the chip in her, because I realized that if I keep focusing in on the mistakes that I think she's making, I build in me a resentment towards her. And I log that up, and the next thing you know, I've got a master volume set going here. And sometimes you can build that so much that it's irreparable. And you have to avoid that. And how do you avoid that? Let things go. Let tomorrow be a new day. How many understand what I'm saying? When a mistake is made, do like what it says in Ephesians. When you put your head down at night, let things go. Let them go. It isn't worth logging up. Just let them go. And then when you wake up in the morning, your husband and wife, you take and you just kiss that little woman next to you and have more babies and have good time. Amen. I'm going to quit there. Did you guys get the message here today? You're the first lady of the church, honey. Yeah, it's Mother's Day, not Wives' Day. It's Mother's Day, right? Yeah. Well, I'm teaching the wives, too. Heads up, women. Stand up, everybody. We better close this puppy here. Father, I thank you for the wonderful women that are part of our life. And I thank you so much how you move in the heart of a man to provide for her. And Father, I thank you how you move in a man to love her. as Christ also loved the church. Father, I thank you that a woman can submit to her husband in disagreement when she can honor him and respect him. Father, may we not do anything through self-glory and self-ambition, but may we learn to give of ourselves to each other to have a greater relationship as a husband and wife and mother of our children. Father, we thank you so much for our children and how beautiful they are. And Father, how a husband and wife can come together and declare victory over their wonderful children. And Father, I thank you for the children that you've given me. I'm so pleased and honored by them. And Father, may their road be greater and greater. And Father, I thank you so much for my wonderful wife. And I thank you so much for the other mothers that are here and how wonderful they are. May they have a blessed day in Jesus. Amen. With that said, we're going to close with this. If you've come here this morning and you have never really given your heart and life to Jesus, we want to minister to you. We want to lead you into the kingdom of God. We also want to see to it that you have the baptism of the Holy Spirit. If you want to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And last but not least, if you have any questions of your salvation, please come to us and the Holy Spirit will confirm your walk with Him. And if you're new here and you want to meet with me in the back of the room here before you go home, feel free to go right back there. We have a hospitality room back there. We'd be glad to meet with you, talk with you. If it's your first time coming, visiting, may God bless you, Father. I thank you for these wonderful people. May they have a glorious afternoon. Because we're not having church tonight, Father. We're having family tonight. And Father, may these family be blessed. And may all the mothers be blessed in Jesus' name. You're dismissed. Amen. Amen.